Robert Burns, the famous Scottish poet, wrote, "Thou knowest that thou hast formed me with passions wild and strong, and listening to their witching voice has often led me wrong." Robert Burns has articulated in that statement what people have believed throughout the centuries. That is, that God made us with wild and strong passions. Therefore, what else could he expect but us to be susceptible to temptation? As I understand, some of the Jewish rabbis of the ancient times believed this. Some reasoned that because God had created everything, and because he created man, he must also have created man with an evil nature and with evil tendencies. If he made everything, he must have made that as well. So we get rabbinic sayings like this. God said, "It repents me that I created the evil tendency in man, for had I not done so, he would not have rebelled against me. I created the evil tendency, I created the laws and means of healing. If you occupy yourself with the law, you will not fall into the power of it." God placed the good tendency on man's right hand and the evil on his left, so said the rabbis. Some people have even gone so far as to say that God is to blame in temptation, and if you don't think so, then remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 13, where the disciples were to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." One writer wrote that we need to plead with God to lead us not into temptation, because if we don't, he's going to do it. He will do it. He will lead us into temptation. So it is that men blame God for making their inner passions. Men blame God for creating their circumstances. Men have felt for years that they are really not responsible for the way they are. They are predisposed that way. They were born that way. That's just the way they are. That's just the way they are made. Like the poor man who blames his poverty when he becomes a thief and steals. He thinks himself is justified in stealing because he's poor and because that's the way his circumstances led him. Like the drunk who goes out and wrecks his car and kills somebody in the process, he blames his wife for an unhappy union. He blames his circumstances. He blames his marriage. He blames his business for driving him crazy. He blames pressures on the job, and so he feels excused from any real guilt. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Now, there are those that so believe that, and there are even some in the church to some degree, I suppose, that believe that as well. But listen to what James tells us in James chapter 1. And I love the book of James because it's so practical. And it deals with things that you and I deal with every day. And one of those things is temptation. James tells us in James chapter 1, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God," or with God. James is telling us, yes, we're going to be tempted, but God is not the source of those temptations. Regardless of what the Jewish rabbis wrote, regardless of what the poet writes, regardless of what individuals seem to believe, God is not the source of evil, and he's not the source of temptation. James tells us, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God." God is not that source. He goes on, he says in the same verse, he says, "God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God is not the source of evil. He does not fellowship evil. He has nothing to do with evil. And the evil that comes to us is not from God, as James so declares. But then he mentions in the very next verse, he tells us the process by which this comes into our lives, how evil comes into our lives, how sin comes into our lives, when he said, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." We're drawn away of what? We're drawn away of our own lust, that is, our own desires, and enticed, he says. I want to spend just a little bit of time on that, because I think that we need to be reminded of that, and especially our young people. We need to be reminded that it's not God who tempts us, It is not God who entices us to commit sin, but Satan uses these things in our lives. He draws us away after our own desires. We're led away. And that little statement there, when he says we're drawn away or we're led away, involves an allurement. He allures us by the things that we desire. And he mentions there, and we're enticed. That means to catch by bait. So James uses some terminology that we're very familiar with. And those of you that know me very well realize that I like to hunt and I like to fish. And I spend some time doing that, and I enjoy doing that. And whether I trap anything or kill anything or catch anything, I enjoy just getting out and doing those things. But one of the things that I do enjoy is fishing, and I enjoy all types of fishing. As far as putting meat in the freezer, you know, I like crappie and walleye the best. I think it's the best type of fish you can eat. But as far as the sport, I enjoy fishing for bass. And you know, there's all kinds of tactics, and there's all kinds of lures, and there's all kinds of things that one can use. You can go to Bass Pro or any other sporting goods, and you're going to find all kinds of alluring tactics, alluring things to catch the fish. You know, there's hard plastics and soft plastics, and there's wood and metal. There's all shapes and sizes and weights. There's live baits and there's artificial baits. There's crank baits and buzz baits and jerk baits. There's spinner baits and swim baits and trailers and spoons and flutes. There's all kinds of things that are called poppers and walkers and divers and topwaters and crawls and jigs and frogs and shads. There's all kinds of colors that they come in. There's the tequila sunrise, the black grape, the red shad, the cinnamon purple. There is the pumpkin seed, the bubble gum, the motor oil, and the chartreuse. There's all kinds of different things that you can buy for whatever type of fishing that you want to do. And it depends on where you go. And it depends on the water clarity. You know, it might be clear water, it might be murky water, it might be stained water. And there are things that you can use on rainy days that are better than those days that are sunny. There are those things that we can use in the hot days of summer that would not work in the cold days of winter. So there's all kinds of baits and all kinds of lures. And you can go to springs and creeks and rivers and lakes and ponds. And it's certainly one of my favorite types of fishing, as I mentioned, is bass fishing. And I enjoy doing it in the ponds. So a lot of times the ponds, or as if you're from Texas, the tanks. Fishing those tanks seem to draw the bigger fish because a lot of times those ponds or those tanks are overlooked. And there's nothing like getting out and throwing some type of bait, some type of allurement. And you know, I like to use a plastic worm. I like to bounce a worm off of a log. And there's just something about that I enjoy. That's kind of a slower process. But if I want to speed things up on a clear day or on a day when it's not windy, it's a calm day, and so the water is like a mirror, I'll throw out a topwater. And you know I can throw out that topwater, that torpedo or that buzz bait or whatever it is, and you know I can just throw it out there and then just reel it back in. And a lot of times, you know, that might catch a fish, but a lot of times as well, they'll just see that thing just go right past them as though they're not interested. And so sometimes you just have to change the technique. You have to change the tactic. And so that same torpedo or that same topwater, when you would throw it one time and just reel it back and they're not interested, the next time you throw it out and you just wait for the ripples to die down. And then you just kind of flip it. You just kind of jerk it. And it creates a little excitement for the fish. And there have been times that I've used various techniques like that. And you can see from one edge of the water how the fish darts out. And you know there's getting ready to be a big splash. Sometimes you use that thing and you stop that bait just right over there. You stop it right over that log or whatever it is that they're under. You stop it right there. And then you just kind of tease them with it. And let me tell you something. That is pretty exciting. I enjoy that kind of fishing. And James is saying that's the way Satan works with us. James is saying here in James chapter 1, he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. But he said, we are tempted, that is, we are led astray. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away when he's allured. And you know what? Sometimes Satan uses different techniques as well. He strategizes as well, just like the fisherman. And so what won't work one day may work the next day. And so whatever it is that you're tempted in, whatever it is that you might say is your weakness, those areas that you need to be careful in, then he's telling us, you be watchful. Because Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And whether it's anger or revenge or stealing or lying or greed or covetousness or gambling, if it's worldliness or immodesty or pride or jealousy, whatever it is, whatever sin, whatever weakness that you might have, if Satan doesn't get you one day, he's going to change it up to where he might get you the next day. And so we need to be aware of the techniques of Satan. That's what Paul wrote. Lest he get an advantage of us. He operates through various means and methods and measures. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life certainly are those things that John tells us how he operates in our lives. Those fleshly desires in general, as well as those things that are aroused through sight, things that we see. And you know, the Bible condemns those lustful pleasures. But like Achan of long ago in Joshua chapter 7, when he saw the Babylonian giant, when he saw the spoil, then he coveted, he said, and then he took those things. So those things were created by something that he saw. And you and I, when we are tempted, we need to be aware of those various techniques that Satan throws before us. Because, as I said, if it doesn't work this time, it will work next time. Because Satan is very powerful. Satan is very powerful. He's our adversary, the Bible says. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He is the accuser of brethren. He's Belial and Beelzebub. He's called the devil. He is called God of this world, the father of lies and murder, the prince of demons, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the ruler of darkness. He's known as the serpent, the tempter, the wicked one, the dragon, and so on and so forth. We realize that Satan is that powerful. He has all of these means and methods at his arsenal. He has them at his fingertips, so to speak, and he uses them to draw us away, to lure us away. Now, we need to be aware that we are drawn away of our own desires. So let me just mention some things here very quickly. If you have a problem with being enticed to drink alcoholic beverages, don't hang out with those who drink. Don't go to restaurants that serve it. Don't hang out with people who talk about it or even members who try to justify it. If you have a problem with forsaking the assembling of the saints, don't pursue a career that's going to require you to work regularly or even occasionally on the Lord's Day. And don't go to a place where you're going to have to drive a long ways to attend services. If you have a problem with letting your eyes wander into forbidden fields, then don't go near the parcel of ground that looks greener on the other side of the fence. If you have a problem with that of adultery or fornication, don't put yourself in compromising situations where they can easily take place in your lives. And I have to be very judicious here and very careful here. And so what I'm trying to say is this. If you find yourself in a situation where advances are made and passions begin to flicker, from a classmate, a neighbor's mate, an evening date, don't wait for a flare, that little flicker to be a flare before you use the fire escape. Realize who you are and realize the power of Satan. Realize that he will do anything and everything to lead you astray. That he will do anything and everything. He will use the church. He will use members of the church. He will use friends. He will use mothers and fathers. He will use your spouse. He will use the word of God to lead you astray. And as Paul mentioned, we need to beware lest we are led astray. Paul told Timothy, flee fornication. Or the Bible says to flee fornication. We are to resist the devil in his temptation, the Bible says, and he will flee from us. Take advantage, but be aware that Satan is very, very powerful. But he's only as powerful in your life and my life as we allow him to be. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.